All right, our next presentation is entitled Using ELISA to Determine the Effect of Temperature on the Degradation of the Fungicides Chlorothalonil and Iprodione on golf course turf grass by Paul Koch, John Steyer, Jim Kearns of the University of Wisconsin, with Paul Koch presenting.
Thank you for the introduction. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to wrap up today's Wisconsin session, at least this morning, by talking about the effects of temperature on the degradation of two very commonly used fungicides on golf course turf grass. This is sort of an offshoot of a winter degradation study that I've been working on for a couple years, and we noticed during this study that really temperature was having sort of the main influence on the degradation of the fungicides. It wasn't necessarily sunlight or the soil moisture. It was really temperature. So we decided to go ahead and investigate that more in depth. In addition to my role as a graduate student at the University of Wisconsin, I also run our turf grass diagnostic lab. So we see many cases of disease breakthroughs or failure to control disease coming to the lab. Summer patch was very prevalent this past year in Wisconsin. Pythium was prevalent at times this year due to hot and wet conditions. And being in Wisconsin, dollar spot is really the prevalent disease in the upper Midwest and really the main indicator of a disease breakthrough that we'll observe. According to Dr. Rick Latin's 2011 book, A Practical Guide to Turf Grass Fungicides, there are really three primary factors that affect fungicide performance that might affect disease control. In my mind, the primary one would be disease pressure. I think this is the one most people think of when it's hot and wet. We would think that either the pathogen itself is more active or more virulent, or the host plant is maybe more stressed and less able to defend itself against the pathogen. Second factor is what Dr. Latin calls deposition factors, so improper rates, intervals, or coverage. Dr. Latin may have found a polite way for us to tell the superintendent that he messed up, he or she messed up. And then point three is one most people might not think of right off the bat. It would be the depletion of the fungicide itself. So the fungicide itself is not staying there long enough to provide proper protection. The primary objective then is to determine the rate of fungicide degradation at three temperatures, 10, 20, and 30 degrees Celsius, using an ELISA technique. And for the ELISA technique, we purchased a commercially available enzyme kit specific for both fungicides from Hariba, which is the Japanese company. And we modified it from its original intent to be used on fruits and vegetables and modified it for use on turf grass. The hypothesis then is that higher temperatures increase the degradation rate of these two fungicides, reducing the duration of disease control provided, and may provide a mechanism for the recommendation that many of us give to superintendents that under high disease pressures to shorten the interval and increase the rate of fungicide applied. The design of the study is a randomized complete block with four replications. There are four fungicide treatments. There's a non-treated. There's iprodione applied as CHIPCO 26GT applied at the high label rate. There is chlorothalonil applied as Dacanol weather stick at the high label rate. And then there's a tank mixture of both fungicides applied at the high label rate. Unfortunately for this study, we still are working on perfecting the chlorothalonil ELISA technique. So today I'll only present the results for the iprodione. In addition to the four fungicide treatments, then, we have the three temperature treatments, 10, 20, 30 degrees Celsius, for 12 total treatments. And then each of those treatments, we have six analysis dates for the 2011 study. And then for 2010, we have four analysis dates. So in 2010, we have 0, 7, 21, and 28 days after the fungicide application. In 2011, we have two extra weeks added on to the end. The actual implementation of the study in early summer in June in both 2010 and 2011, the proper fungicide was applied to each plot. Six cores then, one for each analysis date, was collected within 1 hour of the fungicide application and moved to the corresponding growth chamber, either 10, 20, or 30 degrees Celsius. And then each week, one core was taken from each growth chamber, and the fungicide concentration was analyzed via the ELISA technique. In addition to those cores from the growth chamber, we also went back to the field at each analysis date and took a core from a plot that was treated with iprodione and brought that into the lab for ELISA analysis as well. And then fungicide concentration was analyzed separately at each date, and the means were subjected to analysis of variance and separated using Waller-Duncan. So a visual representation of the sampling method. The green rectangle in the lower left-hand corner represents an iperdione-treated plot that is destined for the 10-degree growth chamber, so 1 hour following the fungicide application. Six cores were sampled and transported to the 10-degree Celsius growth chamber. Then at each week, we would take one core from the growth chamber and bring it down to the lab for ELISA analysis. Now, a brief overview of how we do our ELISA analysis. We take our cup cutter size core, clip 0.2 grams of leaf tissue, and put into a microcentrifuge tube along with two metal BBs and 1 milliliter of pure methanol. That is then pulverized in a fast prep, which then releases any iperdione applied to the turf grass along with any plant solutes inside the turf into a solution along with the methanol solvent to extract the iperdione. The black diamonds will indicate the natural or iperdione that we sprayed onto the plant. In the next couple of animations, we'll have yellow diamonds that will signify an enzyme-labeled iperdione that was provided along with the ELISA kit from Hariba. 200 microliters of the solvent plus iperdione concentration was then diluted and then mixed in with an equal volume of the enzyme labeled iperdione from Hariba. The enzyme that is labeled onto the iperdione from Hariba has the ability to fluoresce when it's mixed in with a color reagent, and the color reagent we used was tetramethylbenzidine. And so basically, the more of the enzyme labeled iperdione that is present in the well plate will react with the color reagent to produce more of a color reaction, and we measure the light absorbance of those color reactions with a spectrophotometer. So then this mixture of natural and enzyme-labeled iperdione was taken from this microcentrifuge tube and put into a well plate. Each well was coated with antibodies specific for iperdione, meaning they only bound iperdione. So after 1 hour of mixing, 1 hour of reaction, the antibodies will bind either the natural iperdione or the enzyme-labeled iperdione at the bottom. Then there's a wash step that washes out anything that is not bound, and then we add the color reagent and go ahead and measure the color reaction. So basically, here's a picture of the 96 well plate kit. The more color there is, the less fungicide that's in your sample. So it's a little counterintuitive because the less fungicide that's on your sample, that means the more of the enzyme-labeled iperdione is going to bind, and you get more of a color reaction. So it's a little bit counterintuitive that way. And we always, then to get the fungicide concentration, we take the absorbance and compare that to a standard curve that we've included in each kit. So moving on to the results in 2010, on the x-axis we have analysis date. Remember, 2010 had only four analysis dates as compared to six in 2011. On the y-axis we have iperdione concentration. And the results basically what we would expect. The blue line at the top is fungicide iperdione concentration at 10 degrees Celsius over the four-week period. And we see that it degrades at a slower rate than the iperdione at a 30-degree temperature. And the 20 degrees Celsius is right in the middle. There were significant differences between the temperature treatments at 7 and 14 days, but not at 0 or 21. And something we found from the winter study is that we appeared to lose disease control on Microdocum nival, the pink snow mold pathogen, once fungicides dropped below about 100 parts per million. So we extrapolated that from the winter study and brought that into this study and issued that as a point where we might start to lose disease control of some of our diseases as well. And we can see that the 30-degree treatment went below the 100-degree parts per million level at about 7 to 10 days after application, whereas 20 degrees Celsius, the concentration stayed above that 100 parts per million until about 14 days, 10 degrees Celsius a little bit further than that. So this would actually match up well with what we would expect with iperdione. The normal interval suggested is about 14 days. So if we have a higher temperature that would degrade it faster than we would expect, we might see slight loss of control between that 7 and 10-day or 7 and 14-day interval. In 2011, again, we had two extra application analysis dates. And we still have fungicide concentration on the y-axis and very similar sort of results. 10 degrees Celsius, the fungicide degraded at a much lower rate than even in 2010. 30 degrees Celsius is degraded at approximately the same rate as in 2010, and 20 degrees was right in the middle. Significant differences between these treatments at between 7 and 35-day intervals. And again, we see that at the 30-degree treatment level, we drop below that what we're designating a critical fungicide concentration at about 7 to 10 days after the initial application. 20 degrees, again, out to between 14 and 21. And in this study, the 10-degree treatment stayed above that critical level for the duration of the study. Then comparing the growth chamber samples to the field samples, we see that in both trials that we did, there was a rapid drop in fungicide concentration from the leaf blades. Again, looking at this critical concentration of 100 parts per million, we found that it would drop down to right about 100 parts per million after 7 days, and there was no detectable iperdione by 14 days. Because the temperature and the conditions were overall much lower than 30 degrees Celsius, the temperature and conditions in the field were much lower than the 30 degrees Celsius temperature in the growth chamber, one would expect that it's not temperature that's driving this rapid degradation from the field. And in my mind, I think the most likely explanation for this rapid degradation would be removal by mowing. So it's not actually iperdione is degrading to below 100 parts per million within 7 days, but it's the removal by mowing that is affecting that rapid loss of fungicide. So in conclusion, iperdione does appear to degrade faster at higher temperatures. At 30 degrees, the concentration drops below that critical level of 100 parts per million at 7 to 10 days after the application. Higher temperatures, the degradation was much slower, stayed above 100 parts per million for 14, 21 days plus. The effect of temperature likely means that microbial degradation is the primary mechanism of iperdione degradation, but certainly plant metabolism cannot be ruled out as well. The fact that iperdione is absorbed into the plant at a higher temperatures, it might be metabolized faster by the plant. Once we get the chlorothalonil to work, we can compare this with chlorothalonil and see, since chlorothalonil is not really absorbed into the plant, we can compare and contrast and see if the rate of chlorothalonil degradation and be able to extrapolate a little bit more on the microbial versus plant metabolic interaction. And then with the field samples, again, the iperdione was not detectable within 14 days, likely due to removal of the leaf tissue by mowing. This brings in some interesting points about the impacts of plant growth regulators on the persistence and duration of fungicide control. Excellent timing in the last plant disease issue. Alex Putnam and John Kaminsky have a paper in there that shows, indeed, there is an increase in duration of control when we include plant growth regulators along with their fungicides, and this could be a mechanism for that. Many people to thank. I'd like to focus on the undergraduate support. We have a tremendous undergraduate support across the lab, and funding support both from Wisconsin chapter and the Northern Great Lakes of the GCSAA, as well as the GCSAA itself funding the larger study, the winter study that led to this. With that, I thank you for your attention. I'd be happy to take any questions. Yes. So the question is, why did we see the difference in degradation at 10 degrees from 2010 to 2011? The degradation was much slower in 2011. I don't have a good explanation for that. There's a lot of variability with the ELISA because you can have contamination from plant solutes, and so there's unfortunately a lot of variability. 2011, we had a little more variability than I would like to see at the 10-degree level, so I think that played a role. I think overall that 10 degrees concentration should be a little bit closer to 2010 than the 2011. Yes?
Do any of the metabolites of iperdione have fungicidal properties?
The question is, do any of the metabolites of iperdione have fungicidal properties? The main metabolite of iperdione is, I believe, 3,5-dicarboxy iperdione. And the answer is to that, I believe, is no. No significant fungicidal properties. There is a small, to go on to a little side tangent, there is a small degree of cross reaction with the ELISA with the iperdione metabolites.
Thank you.
Yes. The question is if we've investigated the impact of UV light on the degradation of fungicides, not directly in this study. We are in the midst of a winter study that is looking at the impact of snow cover on the degradation of these same two fungicides. And from our the winter of 2010 to 2011 data, it does not appear that there's really a significant light impact. It was more related to the actual soil temperature than light. Thank you.